morning, church. Woo, it's good to see everybody. It's so fun to be here. I don't get to come very often, but when I do, it's always fun to see all the faces again. Today we're in the sermon series on seasons, and today's season, I just love how this lined up because we actually didn't work this out as a preaching team. We should do things like this, but the Lord just took care of this. We're talking about launching from high school into adulthood. Yay! They're all passing out paper to each other because I said to Joey, I was like, I'm gonna engage this group of people differently than I'm gonna engage the rest of you, but you can all do it on your own time. And you all, there's a prize at the end. So if you do a good job, there's a prize. Okay, so here's how this is going to go. When we launch from high school into adulthood, it's really that time when we go from being under our parents' roof and they say how we will do our spiritual life. And for some, it's we don't, right? So some grow up in a home where there's no spiritual life. You don't have to go to church. You don't do all the things. You just get to do life as people. I don't know how that goes because since I was 5 years old, my mom looked at at her husband and said, "I'm taking all four kids to church," and he was like, "What? This is new, right?" And I was number 3 of 4, so this is like the back half of the kids, right? But she's like, "We're doing it. We're taking everybody to church." So since I was 5, we went to church every single Sunday. So that was me growing up. But not everybody has that privilege. I am thankful for that now. At the time, I was like, "Do we have to?" Right? You remember those days? The only rule my brother had was he couldn't have holes in his jeans. Now it's cool to wear holes in your jeans. But what I want to talk about today is something called a rule of life. You got that? Rule of life. And you might be like, "I don't like rules," but hear me out on this. A rule of life is something that we put in place in our lives so that God rules our lives instead of life ruling our lives, okay? Everybody's felt that before when life gets too busy and life is just like dragging you around. Have you had that moment where you're like, "I'm just driving everywhere," or "I'm just getting dragged everywhere," if you're someone who's not even driving yet? And when I was starting to think about this sermon and talking about launching from being in high school into college, I started to think about my college and a master's degree life. It was 6 years all in a row. And it was a time where definitely my life could have ruled the whole show because it was busy. I was the type of person that had to study. I didn't have that option of like, "Oh, I don't need to study because I'm so brilliant." I'm not. And so I had to study for every single class. I had to work very hard in every single class. I also didn't come from a very rich family where I didn't have to work. So I was working at the same time, both in undergrad and graduate school. And one of my life hacks, so listen to this good life hack. You don't have to write it down, but here's a good life hack, is I took a job that was an overnight job sitting at the front desk of the dorm, and I studied all night. I got great grades during that season, but I did not stay awake in class very well. So it was like, but I was working hard during that time. And then when I went to graduate school, I had the privilege of having an internship becoming a therapist. At the same time, I became the middle school student director at my church, and I was doing the full-time coursework for graduate school. Okay, right? Life could have been leading my whole life at that point. And I feel like some of you all can relate to the soccer schedule, the baseball schedule, the music schedule, whatever it is, you're just running around, you're chasing the next thing, trying to get it done, trying to check it off your list and making it happen. And that's when your life kind of rules instead of God. And so I will say in high school, I had no clue what a rule of life was. So you're ahead of the game. Rule of life. If you don't like the word rule, I'm not a rule good, like I don't love rules. You can say rhythm of life. So a rhythm of life sounds a little bit like more fun. But you come up with some concepts and some things, some anchors in your life that will help carry you through your life the whole time, not just when you're launching. And so if you're like, I already have launched a couple of years ago, you can actually be thinking of this as a time where you are thinking, have you ever like felt like my life, my spiritual life is a little dry? It's okay to raise your hand because I'm raising my hand. Like my spiritual life is a little dry and I need some more oomph to it. I want it to feel alive again. It was when I first came to the Lord, but so one of the things I do to bring it alive, and here's what you're going to do with your piece of paper. You're going to draw 10 things. I know you're like, that's a lot of things that draw you closer to Jesus. 10 things. You're like, Bible, prayer, that's two, right? Okay. So 10 things. Well, let me show you my piece of art. This is amazing. Someone asked me from the other campus, they're like, oh, how old were you when you drew that? I was in my 40s. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be amazing. So for me, I feel close to Jesus when there's sunshine and there's water, and I like to light a candle. Those kinds of things make me feel closer to Jesus. I like walking my dogs. That makes me feel close to Jesus. I like to listen to Christian music. I guess 6 to 10 years ago, I was running, because look, that looks like a girl running. She doesn't run anymore, but she does walk every day. What draws you closer to God? And it can be anything. I think sometimes we get in our head that it has to be something like fold your hands, bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray, right? We all learn that as kids growing up. And we actually do it in here a lot too, where we do that. But the reality is we can connect with God all sorts of different ways. So what we're going to do is we're going to take these pictures and we're going to create a rule of life from these fun pictures. So, you know, you all can just be picturing what you might put in your rule of life, what brings you closer to the presence of God. So the first thing that you do, so when I do these, you can actually see on this piece of paper how it's folded into four quadrants. When you are ready, team, you can flip your piece of paper over. Just flip it over real quick. Flip it over. Yeah. And then write the word daily. So if you were to do this yourself, you would write down daily, and you think of like one thing that I could add to my spiritual rhythm that's going to bring it alive. Remember, we're trying to revitalize our spiritual walk or start one for the first time, because when you're young, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I remember that in high school. My faith came alive and I wanted to follow Jesus, but I did not know what I was doing. And I just started groping around in the dark and tried some different things along the way. And so for the daily quadrant, you're looking for something from the pictures that you've drawn that you can't actually do daily. It can't be something that requires a lot of time, right? Because you're going to have to squeeze it into your already busy schedule to figure out that daily. For me, I need a quiet time with Jesus once a day. When I was younger, it was the middle of the day. When I was a youth pastor, it was the end of the day, really late at night, because you only sleep 3 hours over 6 days. And then now it's early in the morning. It doesn't matter. But Jesus modeled this for us in Scripture. It says in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. But Jesus often, Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Matthew 14:23, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Luke 6:12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Mark 6:46, after leaving them, he went up to the mountainside and prayed. You see where he pulls away from the crowd. He gets alone and he talks to his heavenly Father over and over and over again in the Scriptures. And he modeled for us that it's important to pull away and meet with the living God. When I first went away to college that first semester, I had an English professor that gave an assignment that I was like, oh no, I don't want to do this. It was a journaling assignment. And so the way she described it is we all had these spiral notebooks. It was, we had computers but no laptops at the time. Yes, ancient days. And so we were still doing things on paper. And the requirement was you only had to do half a page of the spiral bound, but you had to do a half a page every single day. And she said, I'm not going to read it. You can write whatever you want. I'm not going to grade what you're writing. I'm only just going to flip the pages to make sure you did it every day. And she would check it once a week, and we got like points for that. And remember, I wasn't a great student, so I was like, points! Like, I'm gonna do this assignment. But again, remember, I'm someone who tries to double up things. And so what I did was that became my time where I met with Jesus. And so that first half of that page, of the paragraph, I would pray. Dear Lord, help me stay awake in class today. They were real deep prayers at the beginning. I was trying to connect with Jesus when I first was doing this. And I ended up every day. And then the second thing I would do is I would write down one passage of scripture. I mean, I only had to have half a page, right? And if you do a verse, it's like, wow, I'm almost done. And so when I was doing that, that was when I would meet with God, was during my homework time, because it worked. And I knew I would do my homework, and so I had pre-decided that's when I was going to meet with Jesus. And that's one of the biggest things when you do a rule of life. It is pre-deciding to meet with Jesus. It's pre-deciding to have these spiritual anchors in your life that will carry you through. You don't automatically do healthy things in your life. You have to do them by pre-deciding, I'm going to do them, right? Like eating healthy, it's the worst. Because if you don't pre-decide, you're on your way home and you're like, I'm just going to swing right through the fast food restaurant, right? But if you pre-decided that morning and you put a healthy thing in the crock pot, you go home and you eat the healthy thing, whether you know you like it or not. But you have to pre-decide to do healthy things. But one of the things on the daily that is really important is to get a Bible that you love. Did everybody hear that over there? Find a Bible that you love. My Bible right now that I love is large print. Yes. That's the other thing I want to say. If you have a Bible that is not working for you, get a new Bible, right? It's hard. I remember when I made that transition the first time from one Bible to the next. Actually, so this right here is my very first Bible that I bought for myself when I was in high school, when I had just fallen in love with Jesus, and I was like, I want to read my Bible every day. And we had like a couple, you know, banging around the house that we were allowed to use, but I was like, it's not mine because there were four kids. And the Sunday school teacher said, for $5, you can have your own Bible. And so I brought my $5, and it was one of those like old school ones with the hard cover, and it was really plain brown. And I was like, I'm reading it every day, but I like my Bible, but I don't love it. So I made it something I love, and it's got little piggy paper on it. Yeah, you can see how old it is. So I wrapped it in piggy paper so that it was something that I wanted to read daily. And people are shaking their heads. I'm like, it mattered to me. You know, so at the Arlington campus, there are a whole bunch of people now who have just fallen in love with Jesus, a lot of them in their 40s, and they're sending me pictures. I didn't tell them to do this. They're sending me pictures grinning with their new Bible. And they're like, I just got my new Bible last night. And they bring them to church, and they got these cool covers. This one's really lame. I bought this for college, so they didn't know that I was a little kid with the piggy paper when I went off to college. But they're bringing their Bibles to church, and they're reading them every day, and they love them. They're showing me how they're underlining things, and they're highlighting things in their Bibles. They're being transformed. So if you don't have a Bible that you're reading regularly because you don't like it or it doesn't work for you, get a new Bible. Another thing that can be really helpful is to get the Bible app on your phone. One of the best ones out there is the YouVersion, Y-O-U version Bible app. It's got a whole bunch of translations. It also will read out loud to you. What? So that day, 3 days a week when it happens to you, like I didn't get to sit down and actually physically read, you can hit the play button, stay on track with what you're trying to read, and then you can listen to it in the car or when you're mowing the lawn or vacuuming or how, whenever you listen, when you're working out, all those things. It is a great way to stay on track with your Bible reading. On that note, find a Bible reading system that you're going to do. This is the other thing that we, when we first fall in love with Jesus, we're like, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. It is hard. It is very hard to read the Bible cover to cover. And a lot of new believers are like, I'm going to do the Bible in a year. And almost every one of them fails because it's really hard and it's a lot of reading to accomplish. So my encouragement, if you're just starting to read your Bible daily for the first time, find one, and in the Bible app, they have all these great Bible readings. Find one that only takes 5 to 10 minutes a day, because that's how you'll most likely be successful. 30 minutes of straight reading, you don't usually get it accomplished. So I encourage you to start small, and you can grow. It's just like when you're working out. If you work out too hard that very first day, you're like, I'm too sore. I can't do it the next day, right? And so you need to like start slow and build read more and more along the way. Okay, that was daily. Are you still drawing pictures over here? Good, okay. The next one, flip it over from your pictures and write down the word weekly. Write down the word weekly. So when you're building a rule of life, you're going from what's one thing I can do daily to what's one thing I can actually pull off weekly. This is something that is a little bit more involved, maybe for you. Jesus modeled this for us as well. Luke 2, verse 48, it says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Okay, they had lost their son, Jesus, right? They were going back to look for him. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Verse 49, Jesus says to them, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I would be in my father's house? Now, this one isn't a weekly, like they were doing this yearly, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But Jesus was able to say, well, of course I would be where I would be. I'm in my father's house. And, a couple of Sundays ago when I was preaching here in the 9 o'clock service, like the phones kept ringing and I was like, don't they know where you are? You're in the father's house, right? When we have that weekly rhythm of worshiping together, it's important, it's significant. You have found it because you're here and I recognize your faces, right? Even though I only come here once a month, I am seeing people and I'm like, good job, you made it back for another week of church. Back in the day when I was going away to college, that very first Sunday came upon me, on Saturday night I actually was like, my mom's not here. I could do what I want tomorrow morning. And so I did. I slept in. I didn't go to church. And I was so excited. I was like, this is awesome. I got some really good sleep, you know, because remember the job that I was tired. And I slept into lunch and went to the cafeteria. And as I was in the cafeteria, all the kids who had gone to church were showing up in the cafeteria. They all had their Laura Ashley dresses on because that's what was cool at the time. And we used to dress up for church. And this wave of grief came over me. Not a wave of guilt, not a wave of, I wish I could have dressed up today, but a wave of I missed it. I missed what God had for me. I missed being in community with a group of people. I missed worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a group of people. It only happens on a Sunday, and I missed it. I missed it. And I was sad, and I'm thankful that I tried it on that first week, and then from then on, most of the time, I made it a thing, and I didn't do it on purpose, at least, anymore, if I had a conflict or whatever where I couldn't make it. I wasn't a perfect college student by any means, but I remember finding a church home and loving going to church and finding my way as a young adult, anchoring myself in that weekly rhythm of being able to worship God with the community of believers. Now, you all have that down, so check. One other thing I want to encourage you with. Try to do a weekly Sabbath. I know. We are busy people. We don't have time for that. But God calls us to a weekly Sabbath. He puts it in the Ten Commandments. And the reason he puts it there is because he cares about us and he knows that we need to rest. Way back when I first started ministry, I didn't do it at the beginning. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting mean, like real mean, because I haven't rested. I had a family just a couple weeks ago. They're like, yeah, we decided to not do baseball this year because otherwise we would have been busy every single week or every single day. I was like, yeah, I'm so glad. He's like, if we don't do baseball, we get one day off a week. And our souls need that to reset and regroup and be able to move forward. Sabbath is to get present to those we love. Be in community with the people we love. At the end of life, we won't be like, man, I wish I had played one more baseball game. At the end of life, we won't be like, gee, I wish I had gone to work three more days. Huh? At the end of life, it will matter who's around your bed saying goodbye. Think about how you are living your life and if you are getting eye to eye and connecting with those you love the most. And Sabbath is for that. It is for connecting with the people you love the most and connecting with the eternal Father. That's what matters. And that's why Sabbath is important. It's important to pause once a week. And I will say 90% of the time it's possible. Every once in a while, it gets snagged for some reason. But you have to pre-decide that you're going to do it, and you have to plan for it. Okay, the next part of the rule of life is monthly. Okay, so on your other side, write down the word monthly. They're like, we're in school right now. I'm just trying to keep you awake. Monthly is something that you wouldn't do weekly or even daily. One of the things I think about, maybe monthly you might fast from something, and most of you are probably thinking about food, but really the thing that probably distracts us the most from Jesus right now is in your pocket. Yep. Do y'all get that little shame ping on Sunday morning? It's like how many hours you've been on your technical device. Why Sunday morning? I think the Lord put that in place, right? Right? And you're like, I thought I was going to do better this week, right? But it's important for us to pause and reset, regroup at least once a month and reconnect with God in such a way so that we can be better servants for him, so that we can follow him better. And that's the second part of this. So Jesus, he modeled for us in the scriptures about fasting in Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. He did that because he was preparing himself for ministry. His public ministry is what he was going to do right after that, those 40 days. And I think about for us, it's important for us to pause, to fast from something that is distracting us so that we can get aligned with what God has for us as we serve. When I was in high school, I did a class called childcare. Childcare 1 and 2. I did it junior and senior year. And it's where I learned how to teach preschoolers how to be in preschool. Yeah, they were in preschool. That's what I learned. And I remember one of the people in our congregation came up to me when I was in high school, and they said to me, would you be willing to teach the preschooler Sunday school? And I was like, me? Oh my gosh. I'd be honored. Like, I would love to teach the preschoolers. Like, that's, I'm learning how to do that. Like, I was like, I can't believe someone asked me, right? That someone would ask me to do that. And I'm not saying I was fasting before that. I promise you, I was not. But in that moment, I'm so thankful that I got that connection of you do what you're good at and you follow what God's asking you to do, when someone asks you and you know that you're called to do it, you do it and you serve. And I think about that 17-year-old Diana said yes to teaching preschoolers so that she would keep saying yes to those kinds of opportunities as she grew into a young adult. It was important. I didn't know it was important at the time, but it was important to say yes to that volunteer. I called it leadership. Like the little 3-year-olds, I was getting to teach them about Jesus. I couldn't even believe the honor that was. And the really fun part is my first 10 years of ministry, when I was the middle school and high school director in that same church, as I got to have those little 3-year-olds again. As middle schoolers, I was like, that is crazy. It was so fun to watch how much they had like grown up into these young adults who were learning to follow Jesus, and I had gotten to be with them when they were little. You are called to something. And when we pause in whatever way God has called us to monthly, we can lean into how we're supposed to serve. And over at the Arlington campus, every single person is encouraged to serve once a month in some way, shape, or form. They're allowed to serve more than that, but it's great because it's where you find community and where you come alive and how you learn to follow Jesus as you follow him together each Sunday. Okay, the last one is yearly. I know, surprise, yearly. And these students are doing it. D Now happens once a year, right? Yeah, they are, sure, she has no idea. Once a year, they are reconnecting with God. They are learning from the guest speakers. They are serving. Hey, thank you for, he said new parking spots. They made the lines whiter. Nice work. I went and saw it last night. Thank you. Appreciate that. It looks good. It's getting ready for a new building over there. So that's fun. They're learning how to follow Jesus in a yearly rhythm. For any of us, it can be a camp, a conference, any sort of retreat. There's a little retreat house not far down the road here that they open up their doors. You don't even have to spend the night. You can just be there for the day and they will lead you through a spiritual retreat and you can grow in your walk with Christ. I, as a pastor, I go someplace every year for a pastor's conference, and it's not just to be a better pastor. Yes, I learn things about how to be a better pastor, but I also get to deepen my relationship with Christ as I worship together with 1,000 other pastors who are doing the same thing I'm doing. We encourage each other. We walk with each other, and we go deeper in our faith walk as we meet together yearly. So back to that story of Jesus in the temple, that was actually something that they did yearly. They would walk really far in a pilgrimage together, and they would walk to the temple. And this is what it says in Luke 2, verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. This means he had been there 12 times. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. That was their yearly rhythm. It is modeled for us in Scripture. Sometimes we think these things that we do, like camp, like when I was at camp from 11 years old all the way into my adulthood, I made sure I was at camp every year because it was where I was getting transformed. It's scriptural to pull away and go meet with the living God and get focused on him in an entirely different way. We have these rhythms, most of us in our families already. You go on a family vacation, or if you're married, you do the anniversary celebration. My husband and I have been married 17 years, and every anniversary he has two great questions. The first one is, he's like, what's been amazing about our marriage this year? You gotta be ready for that question. I'm like, well, and I love that he says that. That's where he starts. He talks about what has been really good about our marriage this past year. And then the second question is transformative, and it has been transformative for our marriage. He then asks, if there's only one thing that I would do differently as your husband this year, what would it be? And you know what he does? He tries to do it. he actually tries to live into it. I don't even know how many years it's been now, but early on in our marriage, we didn't pray together every day. And you're like, what, a pastor? Yeah, because I'm like, it's hard, right? You're going every which way, and he prays how he prays, and I pray how I pray, right? All that, and like, whatever. But I said to him, I was like, I would love if you would initiate prayer with me every morning. He's like, done. And my husband is a man of rhythm. He does not miss a day. Like sometimes he'll be like, where are you going? And I was like, I gotta go. He's like, we gotta pray. And I'm like, oh yeah. Because what can happen when you do that yearly check-in, you lock eyes with the person you love the most, right? And you say, we're doing this life together and we wanna do it together well. And when you think about your relationship with Jesus, if you lock eyes with him every year and you said to him, if you named for him, this is what's been going great in our relationship this year. And then if you asked him, what's one thing I could do that would make my relationship better? He probably will tell you. You probably already know. Even as I ask that question, you're like, I know. And that's when you flip that piece of paper over and where you have yearly, you write that thing down and you're like, this is what I'm going to commit to this year. I'm going to make sure that thing happens because I want that strong relationship with Jesus in my life. We all have life rhythms. We sleep, well, some of us sleep. We sleep, we eat, we exercise, well, some of us exercise. We all have those rhythms, and the healthy rhythms are the ones that we pre-decide and we lock into and we focus and we decide how we're gonna do life. And the same thing goes for our spiritual walk. The things that we want to do that are healthy, we have to pre-decide and lock in and decide if we're going to do it because they aren't gonna just automatically. I got lucky because that teacher assigned that assignment to me, and now 30 years later, that's one of my locked in things that I still do is I journal almost every morning and read the scriptures, and it's how Jesus does the deep work in me that I need to do to be able to do what he's called me to do. Without that connection, I can't. God has called you to serve him, but he wants relationship with you first. He wants deep connection with you because he loves you and he cares about you. Okay, so I promised this crew over here. For those of you who don't know, I've written a book. I don't talk about it very often. I know some people have a copy, but in here is how to do the personal sanctuary that you just did and how to create a rule of life. So if you're like, I really want to do this, when I was working on this sermon, I have new puppies, I don't know if you know, one of them started to eat this one, so I can't sell it anymore. So I'm gonna give it to somebody over here. And if you're like, I really wanna do this, you're gonna bring your picture to Joey, and you're gonna be like, I really want the book, okay? And I'm just gonna leave it right here on the stage, and Joey is gonna decide who gets, you know, whoever's worthy. I don't know how you decide, but the picture's gotta be good, and their heart has to be right. There's other copies of it. If you want more, you can get them on Amazon, but I put a couple in the window over here for when you come in at the office, and you can throw $5 through the window. The church bought them, and so that would cover the cost for them, but I don't do this to sell books. I do this because there is a living God that wants a relationship with each one of you, and that book will help you kind of gather and get your head around it a little bit more. There's 30 different spiritual practices in there if you're like, because I'm not an artist and I can't come up with 10 ideas. There's 30 ideas in there that will help you draw into the presence of God. Let's pray. God, we love you and we are so thankful that you are a God who wants to get eye to eye with us. You want to know us not just yearly when we show up for a retreat or a conference, and not just monthly when we are like, I'm gonna get recalibrated, I'm gonna get focused on you. And not once a week when we come to worship, but daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. You want us to see you. You want us to be in relationship with you because you love us. You care about us. You desire that deep relationship where each and every day we go deeper into that love for you. God, I lift up this group of people and I ask that if you have already started to do a mighty work in them in this room, I ask that you would protect their hearts, their minds, their bodies, and their souls as they desire to seek after you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.